Welcome back. Michael Warren Thomas here with The Grapevine. That's SaverLife.com. And a really nice article in the Finger Lakes Times. You can go to FLTimes.com and check out this article about sparkling wines in the Finger Lakes. Dave Sitt, the author of it, is yet another journalist to retire to this area. And it includes Peter Mantius and Michael Fitzgerald, just phenomenal journalists, and a really well-written article review of a number of wineries that produce sparkling wines and a little bit about the history of that in our region. This was a key area for sparkling wine in the United States back in the 1800s, early 1900s, before Prohibition. Some fantastic sparkling wines available right now, and you might consider shipping those to family and friends for the holiday season. And he mentions specific wines from each of the wineries that he covers, says a few words about them. Dr. Constantine Frank, of course, he says one cannot talk about FLX sparklers without mentioning Dr. Frank. In 1985, Constantine's son, Willie, produced the first vinifera sparkler in the region. Megan Frank, Constantine's great-granddaughter and the winery's VP and general manager, continues the tradition. And there are several sparkling wines he mentions. They make quite a few. And it used to be Chateau Franc, that name, that's what Willie founded it as. It was essentially a separate winery. He wanted to make wine, but his father really didn't want any help, and Willie didn't want to compete with him. And so in 1985, he launched the Chateau Franc label and had a separate facility for making it, which still is separate from the winery right next door to it. In the 1800s stone house. It's really, it was built to produce a sparkling wine. That's the thing that's so cool about this. Willie purchased, I think it was maybe from Leighton Taylor or Grayton Taylor, the stone house that's next to Dr. Constantine Frank's winery. And that was built in the 1850s, maybe, as a home and a production facility for sparkling wine. I think it had the illustrious name as something like Western Sparkling Wine. This, of course, mid-1800s, this was the West here in our area, or in New York State. This really has such a long history, and it was so fitting that Willie launched the first vinifera sparkling wine in 1985 in a building built to produce sparkling wine in the 1800s. And Dr. Constantine Frank does some special tastings and food and wine pairings in the kind of the part of that building that they renovated, and it's just a gorgeous, gorgeous building. You can see it easily from the winery. It's kind of the other side of the parking lot and a small vineyard, and that's where the stone house is located. So yeah, he mentions in this article in Finger Lakes Times the 2016 Brut, the Blanc de Noir, the Blanc de Blanc. Blanc de Noirs made with noir being red, or black, refers to Pinot Noir. Blanc de Blanc made with Chardonnay. And they do a number of other sparkling wines. He also mentions Hosmer and says a star is born in Julia Hoyle, Hosmer's young winemaker. They have a couple of sparkling wines now at Hosmer. Three Brothers, the Stony Lonesome Winery. He says the dynamic duo of Kim Marconi and Paige Vinson is rapidly raising the profile of the winery. They've got 2017 Blanc de Blanc. Glenora, has sort of 3 decades of sparkling wine production. Steve DeFrancesco has been at the helm for most of it, and mentions their 2013 Brut, 2014 Blanc de Blanc, Herman Wiemer, and they fabulous sparkling wine. He says Herman must be proud of how Fred Merworth and Oscar Behnke have continued the outstanding quality at Wiemer. He says these are sensational. Cuvée Brut from 2015, Extra Brut, Extra Dry from 2016, and their 2009 Blanc de Blanc. He says it's not available to purchase now, but they may release some in the future. Again, an older vintage of a sparkling wine. Peter Bell, a Fox Run, only makes one sparkler, and he says it's always excellent. 2014 Blanc de Blanc from Fox Run. Ravines, he loves Ravines wines. Morten Hallgren is making some of the best wines in the Finger Lakes. These are some older vintages. Morten holds them a little longer than some of the other wineries. 2012 Brut, 2013 Blanc de Blanc. So some ideas on sparkling wine. There are many other sparkling wines in the Finger Lakes, and many of them are forced carbonation bubbles, and those will usually have a crown cap, sort of a soda top, beer bottle top on them. Lower pressure and much easier to make. It's a one-step process. After you make the wine, you do the forced carbonation using a machine to do that, and it's ready to sell. The method Champenoise, which are the ones I've just been mentioning from those wineries, that's got to sit and go through. You got to touch that bottle with the Ritalin probably hundreds of times before you can sell it, and wait quite a while. It's not just the handling, it's the time. As I said, with some of these 2012, 2013, 2014, and these are 6-7 year old wines in some cases, and they've just been sitting, waiting, getting better. But the forced carbonation, often and usually less expensive, and still delicious. Many different types, some drier, some semi-dry, some fairly sweet. Kind of a full spectrum of sparkling wines. Those forced carbonation are more along the lines of Prosecco, which is generally inexpensive from Italy, and it's become very popular, and that's one of the reasons the Finger Lakes is responding with more forced carbonation options. And there are probably dozens of those available now throughout the Finger Lakes. If you want some suggestions or a link to this article, the Finger Lakes Times, you can read 5 articles a month for free. Be great if you got a subscription and supported local journalism. But you can read 5 articles for free, and his come out once a month. Dave Sitt from Finger Lakes Times, fltimes.com. Today is the final holidays at the market. The Rochester Public Market has their last of 3 holidays at the market, and not too cold. Sometimes it can be really, really cold for these, so lots of selection there, and kind of a festive atmosphere. And if you prefer being outdoors to stay safe with this pandemic surging once again, the public market is mainly outside, and always fun to go and have experienced the history of the market, built in 1905, and the city of Rochester has done a lot to retain the character of that original market. So today is the last of the holidays at the market. It's the next to last Brighton Farmers Market, limited hours, So the Brighton Farmers Market is only open from 10 to 11:30, just an hour and a half, because it's generally cold, generally colder than today in December. Next Sunday, the 20th, will be the final Brighton Farmers Market for several months. I don't think they've announced when they're reopening. I don't think they know because of the pandemic, and it is hard to predict where we'll be in March and April, May, but they will be closed at least for January and February, and then they'll see what happens at that point. So in two more Sundays, 10 to 11:30 at the Brighton Farmers Market. And it's not just fruits and vegetables there. There's Lavender Moon has some wonderful lotions and things they make with the soaps, herbs that they grow in Honeyway Falls. Also have some of the most beautiful wreaths that I've seen anywhere. They generally do not very many, but some large wreaths that are incredibly decorated. And you have bakeries like John John's, Brian's Kitchen. There's usually honey and maple syrup from Wolfschlegel's. So the Brighton Market is far more than fruits and vegetables. And also tomorrow, the Wine Spectator will come out with the top 100, their 100 most exciting wines of 2020. They've already released the top 10. They do that over several days this past week. There were no New York State wines in the top 10. There will be at some point, no doubt of that, but not this year. But hopeful that one, possibly two, will make it into the top 100. And that will come out tomorrow, maybe around noon, somewhere in that range. And I guarantee that many Finger Lakes winemakers, winery owners, vineyard managers will be watching to see if a Finger Lakes wine is on that list. There often have been one and occasionally two Finger Lakes wines on the top 100 list. Last year, I don't think there were any, which was, that was disappointing. But I suspect there'll be at least one this year. Wine Spectator does seem to, they really like Forge Cellars. They really like Herman Wiemer. Red Newt has been on that list. And things like Kelby James Russell's The Knoll Riesling at Red Newt, would not be surprised to see that on the top 100. I think one of the reasons Wine Spectator likes Forge Cellars, they make really good wine. Also, it's a collaboration with Louis Barol from Chateau Saint Côme, someone that Wine Spectator has written about. Big article several times, and one of the best winemakers in the world, in Gigondas. The Genius of Gigondas was the title of an article quite a few years ago. So I also look for his wines. As I mentioned yesterday, I'm not just looking for Finger Lakes wines on this top 100 list. I'm looking for wines of winemakers who are here making wine from around the world. Paul Hobbs, Johannes Selbach, Louis Barol, all three of them have made wines that have been on the top 100, and Chateau Saint Côme and Paul Hobbs have been in the top 10 a number of times. Again, we'll see what happens tomorrow with the 2020 list from Wine Spectator. It's I guarantee a lot of local winemakers will be watching that, partly because they want to see how their sister wineries in the region fare. I think the Finger Lakes is known as a very collaborative region, and the winemakers root for each other. Obviously they want to be on the list, but they will be excited to see any Finger Lakes wines on that list because it adds to the notoriety of the region. it's a reminder to the rest of the world that the Finger Lakes is a world-class wine region. And so far, I believe, I could be wrong, but I believe only Rieslings have been on the, from the Finger Lakes, have, that's the only varietal that's been on the top 100 list from Wine Spectator. It will be, at some point, there'll be, there should be sparkling wine or maybe some red wines that make that list, maybe dessert wines. It seems like that Wine Spectator Top 100 does not generally have very many or virtually any dessert wines, and relatively few sparkling wines seem to make that list. So, who knows what's behind that, but it does tend to be sort of white and red table wines from around the world that are on the list. And the top 10 wines generally scored 95, 96 points in Wine Spectator. That's the top 100 wines is not a list of the wines that score the highest, but the wines that score the highest are often part of the list. So the list includes usually some wines that are in the, I don't know, $12 to $15 range. So, this top 100 list is not meant to be the, 100 most expensive wines in the world, or, the 100 wines that are hardest to get. I think they're trying to make it more relevant to people, and so they include wines that they think are great values but are pretty inexpensive. And for the, I think for generally the month of December, Wine Spectator makes its website freely available. You don't need a subscription as you do the rest of the year to check out the top 100 and to read articles and try searching for maybe specific wineries or whatever on their website. It is open, free, and freely available right now as they celebrate their top 100. If you see any articles or things that mention the Finger Lakes or mention New York State wines in general, please send me a note, michael@saverlife.com, and love to hear from listeners. Gene Pierce at Glenora had a note in his weekly Glenora Gazette that the wine trails have been meeting, trying to set up budgets and schedules for 2021. The wine trail events, I think it's pretty likely that many of those will be back in 2021, partly because many of those events start sort of mid-year through end of the year. Sort of February chocolate and wine events, those I would say are very unlikely to happen. There are some cruise in the tropics event maybe in March. That's probably not going to happen. But June, at least it's, I wouldn't say likely, but possible. But the things like Deck the Halls, the holiday events for 2021, those will probably happen. So challenging to try to come up with budgets and schedules with all the unknowns in 2021. I was just out at EcoCrest Oneida Vineyards yesterday, picking up wine that I purchased online. You can go to purewineonline.com to check out their wines, and opened a bottle of their Cab Franc last night. I just love the Cab Franc that Willoline makes, and got a bunch of that to help get through the winter. They are open on weekends. I have noon to 5 at EcoCrest Oneida. And they have set up some glamping sites there on the property, and they'll be doing more with those next year in 2021. But there's about 7,000, almost 7,000 acres of state forest around them in Hemlock Lake, so it is a lovely area. And they, because they're not on a wine trail, and there are literally no other wineries around them, they're the only winery in Hemlock Lake, it is one of the quieter wineries. So if you want to go somewhere and have it be fairly quiet to get some wine for the holiday season, Eagle Crest Oneida Vineyards would be a perfect choice. It was one person there when I arrived, and then they left, and then as I was leaving, another car drove up. I mean, it was really pretty quiet. But Will and Lisa are often there, so if you can't go down on a weekend, make an appointment. You know, and that goes for lots of other businesses that have hours that don't fit your schedule these days, and especially during the holiday season. Many businesses will make an appointment for the days or hours that that fit your schedule if the current ones do not. So, you know, Herd Orchards, they are open Wednesday through Sunday, 11 to 3, and sometimes a little after that. But again, you can call and make an appointment and basically have a private shopping experience at another time. So call and make an appointment. And if you are going to a specific winery, I would call and make an appointment anyway, just to see, especially with all the guidance and zone changes and things that are happening. It's hard for wineries to predict what they'll be able to do. And so if you are, again, have a couple of places you're intent on going, I would call and make appointments with them just to be sure that it will work out. And the window to ship wines is, we can ship them year-round, but the window to ship them so people can get them before Christmas is, you really need to order them today or tomorrow, just because there are so many things being mailed these days, and they got to go out early. So if you were thinking about doing it, you should. You can send a single bottle, you can send three or six or a full case to family and friends, and they can enjoy those over the winter here. You can send reds or whites or dessert wines or dry rosé or sparkling wines. There are so many different options that you can send. And as I've said before, if you want some help figuring out which wineries can ship to states that you've struggled with shipping to, send me an email, michael@saverlife.com. I saw a post from Christopher Bates that they are moving ahead with their openings in Corning, the FLX Provisions in Corning, the wine shop, has opened now. They already had one on Linden Street in Geneva. Now they have a second FLX Provisions in Corning on Market Street, and they're going to be opening their the Quincy Market, I think, for a couple of weeks, kind of a soft opening during this holiday season. And it's a gorgeous building. Can't wait to see what they've done with the inside of it. And you should try and get down there if you can. So December 18th through January 3rd, they're going to have the Quincy Exchange open. And exciting to see what they're doing in Corning. Kind of interesting that they have chosen Corning as the place to really greatly expand their restaurant business empire in the Finger Lakes. They live quite close to Corning. I live in Montour Falls, so that is handy. And I think Corning's economy is doing pretty well. Corning, the Corning Inc., the company, is doing very well. I think they are actually producing the vials for, I don't know what percentage of the vaccines, but for a significant percentage of the vaccines, those vials, the glass vials, are being made at Corning. Even before that, their business has been doing quite well, and so Corning is prospering, and makes sense to open these businesses there. And they also have a FLX homemade eggnog and double chocolate cookie dough available that they're going to be selling at FLX Provisions, at least in Corning and probably in Geneva. And they have truffle risotto kits that are sold with a bottle of Muscadet. If you want to have a, they say it's for your next date night in. And Christopher and Isabel always have some just interesting things to say. You should follow them on Instagram, on Facebook, get on their email list, and they put out a note just a couple days ago, an email, celebrating all that is to come. And it says, the calls are clear and they keep getting louder. Let's just get 2020 behind us. I get it. It's been a rough year. The toll COVID has taken on our friends, our families, and our communities is painful. The deepening understanding of the social injustices that so many of us have to deal with on a daily basis has been painful. The incredible destruction done by natural disasters, from wildfires to tropical storms, continues to worsen due to the changing climate of the world. And then there is the economy. But through all this gloom, there is light, there is hope, and every tragedy reveals hope, reveals opportunity. Every time that a door closes behind us, an opportunity to find a new door is in front of us. So as we wind this year down, let's not dwell on challenges. Let's celebrate the opportunities. Take that time to call that person you lost touch with. Open that bottle you've been saving for something special. Take that risk you've been too afraid to take. While the holidays will be challenging as we all do our part to keep our families and our communities safe, let's take those little opportunities to treat ourselves and those around us. As this year leaves us and a new arrives, let's not brush the challenges of 2020 under the rug. Let's look for the systemic issues that allowed them to happen and take the opportunity to fix them. I, for one, look forward to 2021 as an opportunity to address 2020, not forget. Well said by the team, Christopher, Isabel, and the FLX Hospitality family. Ours also have a restaurant that's going to be opening with a wine list of around 1,500 wines in Corning. So they continue to expand their restaurants. I did see a note that the FLX Wienery at Rock Brewing is temporarily closed because of the I don't think it has anything to do with anyone getting ill. I think they just decided it was the bottom line of the amount of business that they could do didn't make sense right now during the surge of the pandemic, and they will take a break. And Richardson's Canal House has also done this. Johann Mueller and is the owner and decided to shut down Richardson's Canal House for several months. So it's not closing for good. It's just a pause in business, recognizing that this pandemic is getting worse right now, just as the vaccine has started to be rolled out. The surge is going to get worse over the next month, maybe two, and so Richardson's Canal House is just going to shut down. And we'll probably see other restaurants do that. But it's, you know, if you own the building and you own the property, and Johan does own Richardson's and the property there, that might be easier to do than if you have a lease. If you have a lease, you got to make those payments. I mean, if you own the property, you got to pay the mortgage and the taxes. If you have a lease, it is more of a burden than if you own the property. Of course, that depends on, you know, whether you still have a mortgage and how much that mortgage is, et cetera. But leases, I think, are one of the reasons that a lot of restaurants have stayed open, because they don't want to lose their lease. They don't want to lose that property. But just doing takeout and delivery is a very, very difficult way to make those lease payments, much less keep staff. So it's going to be incredibly challenging weeks ahead. But you know, as we celebrate the holidays, think about local independent businesses that you can support with gift cards, with purchases, curbside pickup, delivery, etc., from restaurants, wineries, gift shops, and support our local businesses as much as you can, and especially during this holiday season. We will be back Saturday with Gardening Restaurants and Discover the Finger Lakes. Again, Brighton Farmers Market is open today 10 to 11:30 and next Sunday. And today is the final day of the holidays at the market. Have a great day. Mike Warren Thomas here at SaverLife.com.